From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Moroccan man accused of trying to pull off a suicide bombing at the U.S. Capitol apparently never made it out of the parking garage. Authorities say he thought he was working with Al-Qaeda when his partners were really undercover agents who gave him a gun that didn't work and a fake explosive vest. He was arrested yesterday after allegedly trying to set it off. In the race for the Republican presidential nomination, Mitt Romney is in Idaho, where he held a rally before heading to a private fundraiser for some 300 Republicans in Idaho's capital city of Boise. From member station KBSX, Sadie Babbitts reports.
More than 1,200 people packed into a warehouse to hear Mitt Romney reminisce about his summer in Idaho, where he worked in the cornfields when he was a 15-year-old kid.
It was so much fun. I learned so much about cultivating corn and spraying corn and irrigating corn. I thought I'd never see the end of corn.
But aside from bonding with the crowd, Romney spent most of his 20-minute speech attacking his opponent Rick Santorum, who's gained recently in the polls. Romney argued he's the one true fiscal conservative in the race for the Republican presidential nomination. For NPR News, I'm Sadie Babbitts in Boise.
Newt Gingrich is critical of his rivals for the GOP nomination for canceling a nationally televised debate. It was supposed to take place in Atlanta on March 1st, but CNN was forced to cancel it after Mitt Romney and then Rick Santorum backed out. President Obama says some jobs are gone as the nation's manufacturing sector resets itself, but he says that does not mean Americans must settle for a lesser future.
Companies like Boeing are realizing that even when we can't make things cheaper than China, we can make things better. That's how we're going to compete globally.
President Obama recorded his weekly address while visiting a huge Boeing manufacturing plant in Washington state. Speaking for the Republicans, Washington Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rodgers accused the administration of sending the country to the poorhouse.
President Obama's broken promises have left our country broke. On his watch, the size of our debt has surpassed the size of our entire economy.
McMorris Rodgers warns of a financial implosion. This week ended on a positive note for Wall Street, and Steve Beckner of Market News International reports that the gains leave a key stock market barometer within sight of an important milestone.
It's been a choppy week with stocks buffeted by European debt worries, but boosted by good economic signs. Toward the weekend, hope grew that Greece will receive new bailout funds and avert default. Also cheering investors Friday were modest inflation and a rise in the leading indicators. After a strong Thursday rally, trading closed with the Dow Jones Industrials climbing to within 50 points of 13,000, a level not seen since May 2008. The S&P 500 rose more modestly, while the NASDAQ composite slipped. For NPR News, I am Steve Beckner.
This is NPR. A Chinese envoy visiting Damascus is calling for all sides in Syria to stop the violence. Syrian state television is also quoting the Chinese vice foreign minister as saying he backs plans for a referendum leading to parliamentary elections. The Syrian opposition and Western countries dismiss the referendum as a sham. Aid workers say the Syrian government stepped up attacks in two besieged cities, is pushing thousands of civilians into neighboring Jordan. Dale Gavlak traveled to the border and spoke with injured Syrians in nearby Dara.
Dara activists such as 22-year-old Saif say Syrian forces have escalated their military might in recent days against the southern town, which sparked the Syrian uprising nearly a year ago. He says that government troops are now using air missiles and shelling against Dara's citizens instead of sniper and other fire. He calls this a new development in Syria's strategy by stepping up its militarization against the town. He adds that many in Dara fear it signals the start of a similar bombing campaign used against Homs, the hub of the revolt in the north. Saif and others said they were wounded while trying to help retrieve families injured from collapsed buildings and homes struck by missiles and other weaponry. For NPR News, I'm Dale Gavlak in Ramtha, northern Jordan.
The government of the Netherlands says Dutch Prince Johan Friso spent a quiet night in the hospital, but that his life remains in danger. The prince was caught up in an avalanche in Austria yesterday. The Austria press agency says he was skiing away from marked runs when the avalanche hit. A Dutch newspaper says the prince suffered serious oxygen deprivation after being buried for some 20 minutes. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.